Meanwhile, Ned Land, less dedicated to conchology, questioned me about my interview with Captain Nemo. Had I discovered who he was, where he came from, where he was heading, how deep he was taking us? In short, a thousand questions I had no time to answer. I told him everything I knew, or rather, everything I didn't know, and I asked him what he had seen or heard on his part. "Haven't seen or heard a thing," the Canadian replied. "I haven't even spotted the crew of this boat. By any chance, could they be electric, too?" "Electric? Oh, ye gods, I'm half tempted to believe it." "But back to you, Professor Aronnax," Ned Land said, still hanging on to his ideas. "Can't you tell me how many men are on board? 10, 20, 50, 100? "I'm unable to answer you, Mr. Land, and trust me on this. For the time being, get rid of these notions of taking over the Nautilus or escaping from it. This boat is a masterpiece of modern technology, and I'd be sorry to have missed it. Many people would welcome the circumstances that have been handed us, just to walk in the midst of these wonders. So keep calm, and let's see what's happening around us." "See," the harpooner exclaimed, "there's nothing to see. Nothing we'll ever see from the sheet-iron prison. We're simply running around blindfolded." Ned Land was just pronouncing these last words when we were suddenly plunged into darkness, utter darkness. The ceiling lights went out so quickly, my eyes literally ached, just as if we had experienced the opposite sensation of going from the deepest gloom to the brightest sunlight. We stood stock still, not knowing what surprise was waiting for us, whether pleasant or unpleasant. But a sliding sound became audible. You could tell that some panels were shifting over the Nautilus's sides.